feeling today? Oh, I just kind of woke up. I'm stretching around and looking out the window. My eyes are kind of blurry or something because as I look out the window, the colors are different. The dew is glistening on the edges of the fence and the branches of the trees. It's jumping around and shimmering the light on the top of the grass. And everything is faded. The color is gone. It's like living in a world of like cellophane, the crisp color of nothing. Black and white, silver. The flashes are interrupted by the birds that fly. Right now, it's between the winter solstice and the 1st of December, and we have major flocks of birds going past the house. And this morning, and they go between the house and the effects of the sun, it kind of presents the coloration of white noise on black and white TV sets. And before I start my day, I always sit down and make peace with myself, make peace with the world. And this glittering silver-gray world with flashes from the sky interrupts my thoughts and it flashes me backwards to a time where TV was black and white. And there were some pretty amazing stories being told. Yes. Let me tell you a story about my life when TV was black and white. I was about 12 years old and I had my first horse. His name was Rusty. Oh, he was beautiful. He was a red chestnut with blonde mane and tail. He was a half hackney, which is a carriage horse, and half standard bred, which is the horses that pull the sulkies around the track. And Rusty and I, we had a pretty good relationship. We were best friends. And it was the fall, the Thanksgiving fairs. And I thought, oh, I could go to this fair. Because at the time, they were handing out money for prizes. And I had to earn my horse's keep. So one of the things I used to do was get my parents to I make arrangements for me to have my horse shipped out to the fair. And I would go in the classes and walk, trot, canter. And I would win a ribbon. And at the end of the day, I would get maybe $2 or $3. And over the season, it would add up and it would help to pay my horse's way. That way, he wasn't being a burden on my parents. And they couldn't use him as leverage to try and control me. Because I was a challenging child. Well, let's put it this way. It's Thanksgiving. And one of the things I could do to help win a ribbon was to go into the Thanksgiving Day parade. Oh, they had a marching band and floats. And behind the marching band, I was this group of us. All the girls with their horses. We were all decked out with ribbons and braids and our riding outfits, whether it was English or Western. And we pranced and danced up the avenues, down the streets, and the city crowds would cheer and say hi. And near the end of the parade, we would go into the fairgrounds, and we would parade down around the track in front of the grandstand where everybody waved to the mayor. Oh, yes, and I rode Rusty, and he just thought he was it. He was so good. And we were going along, and there was this funny commotion behind us, and then there was a sudden, abrupt yell, and the clamor and clatter of things just banging and thumping, and I didn't really turn around because I just didn't have a chance to. Before I knew it, there was this bump. Hard one. Oh, and my horse lost his footing, and he fell to the ground, and I fell with him and hit my head. I hit my head so hard I broke my riding helmet. My horse got up before I did, and he charged off, and he ran down through the crowd, the marching band. and behind him were bits and pieces of a cart, a red cart, made out of pipe, and it pulled away from the wound in his leg. Yes, my horse ran away with trails of red blood flashing behind him. And finally someone in the crowd jumped over the fence and grabbed the head of a terrified horse. Oh, my heart sunk. I pulled myself up. I didn't know what had happened, and I ran as fast as I could. I came to the place where Rusty stood. He was standing in a pile, a pool, a mess of mud and blood. It was the most blood I think I'd ever seen in my whole entire life. And my heart went up into my throat because I just didn't know what to do. And the farmers came around and they looked at the horse and they looked at the wound and they shook their heads. And luckily, there was a vet there. He jumped over the fence too to see what had gone on. Apparently, a pony in a homemade cart had gotten scared and reared up. And when he did that, the driver got pitched out of the back of the cart. And the pony ran off with no one to steer him. And he had come down the track and around the corner and hit Rusty in the back of his leg. And the shaft of the cart went up the back of his thigh and had gone into the base of his pelvis, into and along the edge of his belly and his urinary tract. Yes, and the open wound oozed and bled and bled. It was like, not like a couple of drops. It was like a river flowing out of the back of my horse. And the vet looked at me and he says, "This is not good." And that 12-year-old wise ass mind of mine went thinking, "Yep, there looks to be like about 5 gallons of blood. This is really not good." They wanted to put my horse down right on the spot, and my heart just yelled, "No, no, don't take my best friend. No." Pictures of black and white TV flashed in my head. It was the time of Rin Tin Tin and Trigger and Roy Rogers and Flicka and Lassie. And being at that age, you know, you hold those ideas of miracles. See, Lassie could jump and get hurt, and the vet would come and perform his magic. And the next day, the dog would be fine. He'd be there for the next show. And Flicka would run hard and come up lame. And she would get looked after by the ones who loved her. And the next show, she'd be there and she'd be fine. And the simplicity of my understanding of life, that was what I had in mind for my horse. So I told them, "No, you're not putting my horse down." And everybody looked at me totally stunned. I said, "This is not the place for my horse to die. Can we please take him back to the trailer?" And so a crowd of men gathered around and ushered this injured horse back. And the vet came with his box and he said, "I don't know if this will help." I said, "Just please stop the bleeding and I'll help the horse deal with the rest." And he did. He went in. He had this powder. It was blue. I still don't know what was in it, but it did stop the bleeding and it helped the horse so we could transport him home. Not in the metal type trailers you see today, but it was white with the green ridges painted around the bottom and the top. It was made out of wood. And it rattled along the country roads to get us home. And someone had called my regular vet to tell him I was coming. And he was at the barn when I showed up. And he looked at my horse. My parents were there. My parents were kind of totally in a bad place too, because they had understood how important this horse was to keeping me happy and therefore keeping the household quiet and still. that said, this is not good. This horse has got to have either a miracle performed or he needs to be put down. I didn't understand what was involved in healing a horse. I'd never healed anything except maybe a cut or something from my leg when I fell off my bike. Yes. I looked at the vet and I said, well, can we make it so I could try to heal the horse? And this was the wonderful country vet, very practical. And he just stood there and he looked down at me, I'm sure in total amazement, and said, yep. He says, I don't know if it will work, but I will come every other day and I will show you what to do. And he did. And so every morning I had to walk a mile to the barn and a mile back home and get ready and dressed for school. And in that mile of walking to the barn, I said all the good things I knew to say to ask for help to help me with my horse, Rusty. And while I was in the barn, I fed him and I looked after his leg as best I knew how. And the vet came and he made sure that the scab never formed on the wound. And one day I went in and Rusty's leg, I kid you not, was as fat as a watermelon. And he stood there with this really, anxious look. He had a temperature and he wasn't feeling very good. And I had been instructed to use hydrogen peroxide and water in a syringe and just flush the wound open so it would drain. And I kept the thought of Flicka running wild and rearing and playing, saving the day. And then I looked at my horse and said, it's going to be okay. And the vet came and we worked on his leg. And I missed school that day. I worked so hard on that horse's leg. I learned how to massage his tendons and move all this inflammation up and out of his leg. And it would come out of the hole. Yes, it would ooze and run. Not the nicest thing, I have to say. But the horse stood still. And he went through all of this with me. And neither one of us lost the picture of Flicka running with the wind. And Rin Tin Tin chasing down the bad guy. And Lassie there to save the day. And Roy Rogers and his horse Trigga running across, chasing down the bad guy who just stole the cows. Yes, I never lost my intent to heal a horse. This is Patricia Cleveland in Eastologic Radio, and I'm just going to take a break. Talk to you soon.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone.
Take a breath. Enjoy the day. This is Eastologic Radio and your host, Patricia Cleveland. As I melt into the ideas of intent and how it changes our lives. As a young kid, I was faced with a pretty catastrophic situation. And whether it was just innocence or naive desire, I felt like I took on a lot of people's opinions about what I tried to do with my horse. And if it wasn't for holding a dream, a goal, my horse would have died. And if it wasn't for me taking the time, not like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, But a consistent amount of time every day to honor the goal of saving his life. I may not be here talking to you today, because in that moment of setting the goal, of learning how to heal a horse, I learned a lot of things that have created pathways that have brought me forward. It taught me not to let go of the dream. Even though there's people that are saying, oh, you can't possibly do this, and you can't possibly do that. And, you know, the money's not there. You don't have the time. You're not good enough to achieve the goal. In the innocent mind of the child, anything is possible. You just have to make the commitment to feel the emotion with inside, not your head, but your heart. That connection I had with Rusty was a very, very close, heartfelt, emotional relationship. He was my sounding board. He was my best friend. And here he is. He can't walk. He's got a systemic infection that made his skin feel like cellophane when I rubbed up to make the motion to move the infection out of his leg. And I did it. I worked on his leg 3 and 4 times a day. And sometimes I just had to look at my mom and say, I can't go to school. This horse is more important to me than the knowledge that somebody's going to stuff in my head. I can always learn the knowledge later. I can't save my horse later. And so they couldn't argue with me. The commitment was there. And in 9 months, I was able to finally take a breath of exhilaration. It was spring, and I had turned Rusty out, and normally he would just kind of hobble and walk around. But the hole in his leg had healed quite a bit. And now, instead of 2 and 3 cups of stuff that looked like uncooked scrambled eggs coming out, splotting on the floor, now it was starting to run clear. And the hole was still there, but it was draining, and it was healthy. And the wind blew, and Rusty's ears perked. And I will swear, Flicka flashed in front of my eyes. My horse took one big buck in the air with his legs, and he landed, and he turned on a leg that he had really not used in a long time. And he spun around, and he took his first steps at the trot. That was the signal that we were going the right way, that my horse was going to heal. And whether he would be sound enough for me to ride or not, well, it would take some time to discover that. It took about a year, actually. But at 9 months, the vet came out when I told him my horse had started to trot. He says, oh, I have to come and see this. And he did. He came out. My parents were there. I think they had to pay the bill, but they were there. And my horse came out and demonstrated the power of positive intent, the effect of love between a horse and a kid. And in that moment, he flashed his eyes. And again, I swear Flicka was there, and off he rolled, a little lame, but he was still trotting and moving. And the vet stood there and shook his head, and he looked at my dad, and he said, Mr. Cleveland, I have to say, I never thought I would see this day. This horse should have died before he got off the trailer on his trip home from the fair, and he didn't. And this horse should have died of lead poisoning, because that's what the pipe was made out of. And the red paint that was on the pipe that made the shaft that went in my horse's leg should have created such a bad infection that he should have died from that. And he said the wound closed and the horse got septic. And the horse should have died from that. And Mr. Cleveland, I don't know quite what to say other than today we witness a miracle. It doesn't look like a miracle because of all the work that had to be put into healing the horse. But I have to say it's a miracle because it contradicts everything that I was taught in school. This horse should not be out trotting. The damage to his muscles was extensive, and the way he had the puncture wound move up inside and around his urinary tract. He shouldn't be alive, sir. A miracle happened. And I heard that. And I watched the faces on all the adults present. And I turned around and I looked back at my most amazing horse. And I said, yep, miracles happen every day. It just depends on how you see them. Sometimes miracles require work, but they do happen. Mm-hmm. And the story of Rusty goes on for several years. And we went back to doing the horse show circuit. Yeah, it took a year and a half, but my horse became sound. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't the way he used to be, springing and bouncing, but he was sound. And he had a sense of life and pride and self-presence that carried me all through my life. That horse taught me not to give up on a goal. And sometimes it's not easy because you have to go through all the infection, all the grit and grime, all the dirt, all the negative things that people just put in your way. Say, ah, that's not going to happen. You're a dreamer. You're a fool. You're wasting your time. But if you're true to yourself and you listen to your heart, and you put love into it, the result might not be as pure as you may want, but the outcome, the overall outcome, will have such a profound effect that it may change not just your life, but the lives of everything related to you. The commitment of an innocent kid trying to fix her wounded horse, pretending that she was like the kid on TV. Okay? That innocence. Not putting things between you and the goal. It's something I think that we need to look at today. Because quite often, we reflect things like mirrors. Somebody says something to us, oh, that can't happen. Oh, you're stupid. Oh, your business plan is just right out the window. That can't possibly work. And we take that in and we reflect it on ourselves. We go, yeah, that can't work. Yeah, that person knows more about it than I do. And maybe they do. But do they have the same intent? Is their heart committed to it? Do they love what you do? No, they might love something else. You see, I love what I do. That allows me to do it. And it's really hard because I have all this knowledge I want to have hand off to people to share. But you see, not everybody has the same intent. And not everybody wants to do the work. And so I like what I do. And people stand back and go, wow, how does that happen? Well, it's just like healing the horse. You have to make the commitment, and you have to want to really do it from the heart, from the desire. So, you know, healing a horse, that was a big step in life. And from healing a horse with the hydrogen peroxide and antibiotics has moved me into using energy and things that hold energy. And now I fix wounds, and I fix horses that can't run, and dogs who've been hit by cars, Great Danes who've been paralyzed with old age. They all understand that it's not the knowledge that I bring. It's the intent, the sense of love, the connection from the heart. Take and hold that thought and maybe pull in some of your missing love. Take a breath. Be still. I'm going to take a break. This is Patricia Cleveland and Isologic Radio. Breathe in, breathe out, and I'll be right back.
It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can happen to everyone eventually.
Sometimes just sitting still and relaxing, breathing in and pulling yourself together. Sometimes just taking a moment. It doesn't matter whether you're driving the car or you're in front of the computer. Just breathe in and just make the sound. It tends to vibrate in your throat and it goes all the way down into your heart. And maybe when you make that sound, think about how much you loved something your mother cooked. Maybe it was chocolate chip cookies or, I don't know, icing off the cake. Something that said, that's so good. And take that sense in and say, I am so good. I think I love myself. Matter of fact, I know I love myself. And in that place, just really, honestly, start to look around. And find out the thing you like, the thing you love to do, the gift that is yours. It may be that you're really good with working with birds, or driving long distance, or talking with people. Maybe you have a gift of holding knowledge and sharing it with others. Each one of us has a gift. And sometimes we lose the idea of our love. Sometimes the external drive, the reflections of other people's beliefs limits what we consider as our possibilities. Is there a limit to your possibility? Only the ones you choose to assume. People will throw things in your way and maybe make it challenging. Or you'll have this great idea and you'll run over to a family or you'll run over to a friend and say, hey, I was thinking about doing this. This sounds and feels really good. And they'll look at you and go, are you insane? There's no way that will work. It can't possibly happen. But inside of you, it's going, hey, pay attention. This is your opportunity. This is your moment. And the tricky part is not to listen to the head, but to listen to the heart. to listen to your gut. Because your head will get you into trouble. Because it will fall into the idea of, there's money to be made somehow, or if I do this, everybody around me will be attracted to me and love me and see me for who I really am. But in that moment, the intent shifts and it becomes a reflection in the actions of everybody and everything around you. Because the intent has moved from not I love myself to I want other people to love me. And when that happens, the purity, the essence of your desire shifts. Because at that moment, you put yourself in the position of reflecting the concepts of judgment. So go with your gut and listen to your heart. That's what I did. I healed Rusty. I worked so hard. I did things that everybody told me, 12-year-old girl can't possibly do anything with this lame horse. He's going to die. He's going to fall on top of her. You see, I used to sit right down between his hind legs and rub his muscles and move all that awful, negative, infected stuff out of his leg. I did what felt natural from the heart. And it wasn't because I wanted to perform the miracle. It was just I had the drive and the desire. And I didn't let go. And I didn't listen to the, you can't do that. Because, you see, I wasn't looking for somebody to love me because I was out there helping my horse. I was disconnected from that external relationship, the exchange, the feeding of emotion, the need to control other people's actions. Totally disconnected from that. And every day I went to that barn and I loved my horse. Sometimes I cried because it was really, really hard. But I loved myself and I loved my horse. And I didn't care about having somebody else love me or even like me. And when it was all over, do you know what? Whether I performed a miracle or not doesn't matter to me. What matters is when all was said and done, I had my best friend back. And we got riding and we went riding. And I can tell you stories and stories on top of stories. Because you see, Rusty started to show that he could go back into the show ring. And he went out and he won me ribbons and trophies. And everybody stood back in awe of what a 12-year-old kid and a bottle of hydrogen peroxide and a syringe and warm water and the support of the knowledge of a wise old vet and desire and love, how they all came together to provide a horse for a girl to ride, to start her career. And I had respect, not love, respect from everyone who knew the story of the horse that fell in the Thanksgiving Day parade. I had respect when I was 12 and 13 years old because I honored who I was, not what everybody wanted me to do. And yeah, I mean, growing up, I was a really stubborn kid. But I had a goal. I wanted to work with horses. I wanted to be the best person I could possibly be to develop the best horses I could possibly develop. And I never let go. And I still haven't let go. Although sometimes I'd like to, because sometimes I fall into the trap of, what do other people think? And what is possible? But when it comes right to it, and another horse trailer pulls up our driveway, and a horse comes off it going, and I'm looking at it going, oh dear. And the owner takes it into the barn and proceeds to tell me everything that's wrong. I have to shut down at that moment, because the stories and the way the stories are getting told these days, it's not so much about the horse. It's the human who's saying, hey, look at me. I am the poor human that owns this poor horse. And I've taken on his pain, and I need for you to acknowledge me. I need to be seen. And it's like, I don't know, do you really need to be seen because you are in pain? Well, it's not your pain. It's the horse's pain. And if you need to be seen, take the moment to be honest and say, hey, I'm here. I've brought you a horse. I really want this horse to heal. And this is not about me. I don't need you to love me. I don't need you to even see me. I just need for you to take and love my horse. And apply the desire of intent, the gift that you have. The thing that I've been programmed not to use, could you please bring intent? Could you drive the power, the love that I haven't really been able to find, not in my horse, but in myself? Could you bring that to this situation? Could you please help my horse? When people could do that, instead of dwelling on the negatives and tell me what the vet said or didn't say was possible, if we could just work on love and intent and take and disconnect from all the thinking and the mirroring and the reflections that shut down the innocent child, which is inside of each one of us. That little kid that says, I want a horse, I want a dog, I just want something to love. Because right now, I don't know if I can love the big people. I'd like to love the big people. But the big people don't know how to love themselves. And it reflects back on the inner child. And I think that's sometimes why being a kid inside likes to hide, because it doesn't know how to deal with the lack of intent. Take a deep breath and cuddle up in the chair. This is Isologic Radio, and I'll be right back. Just had to go and check on everything. The sun's been shining and it's been raining. Yesterday was a rainy day, and the grass is trying to pretend it's spring outside, but I think it's going to get a rude surprise. This is Patricia Cleveland, by the way, at Isologic Radio. And if you like what you're hearing, get in touch with me. I have a new address. You can just write in isologicradio@gmail.com. And I'll get your emails and respond back. Yeah, it's intent. And what we do with it, and how does it interfere or reflect or interact? It's all around us. And, you know, I sit back and I remember those black and white TV shows. They always ended on a positive note. It was like, wow, nobody ever really dies and it's all perfect. Well, in this world, it's not that way at all. Matter of fact, the more color we've had to TV and the more definitions we get, the more people are dying. And the less positives we're getting. I don't know. Is it a program that people like to watch that's there to tell them not to believe in themselves? Sometimes we have to mirror each other. And sometimes we don't. And I think some reason, if you move inside, and if you're a type of person that takes time to honor themselves, to reflect on not wanting to interact with people because you need your ego to be fed, but just to be there, to hold the space. And maybe if they ask you a question or they need help, that you're there. You see, our actions reflect between one another. And if we could change how we see and how we feel and how we think, maybe we could change the greater outcome. Maybe the TV shows would have great endings. Oh, yeah, great endings. Wouldn't that be lovely? A miracle. You see, I think human intent is something on an energy level that more people need to be aware of. Because there's actions and there's reactions. And in science, they say, well, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And I have to say that maybe that's not necessarily true. Because to have the action and the reaction means that somebody somewhere in that chain of events had to put the energy into the action. And I think the energy that goes into the action can actually alter the intent of the equal and opposite reaction. And perhaps on an energy understanding, the equal and opposite reflections of our actions are completely based on the involvement of not ego, not pride, not control or judgment, but just on heartfelt desire. If we just applied heartfelt desire and intent, there is the potential of neutralizing the dualistic actions that we're living in. Now that's a big leap from fixing a horse's leg to changing the universe. But to me, it's all the same thing. Because, see, if I don't hold the intent, the power of who I am and loving myself and loving what I do, if I don't have that, I just add one more layer of negative thought. And somewhere out there, for every positive thing I will do, something or somebody will come along and do something completely opposite. But if we as a group, instead of looking at life as, oh, Sally and George and the tree and the bug, if we could come together and say, we're one in the same, we're the same space, we have the same intent, we hold the same desire, and that is to love life. To love ourselves. And if we could take that on, and we could hold it for even a longer period of time than what we do, maybe instead of having a small relationship between a positive result and a negative result, we could increase the scale so that everything on earth could start to just be one big positive place of intent. On the Emerald Tablet, the source of the quotes from Hermes, it is written, "So above, as below, or as below, so above, however you see it." A reflection, not opposite, the same, a reflection. And when you have a reflection and you fold the images over on top of each other, they match. They're not opposite. They're not working against each other. It's the same. And if we could expand and share and come together and talk and just hold the sense of love and honor without judgment, we could expand the consciousness, the presence of this place, or maybe the reactions within a family group or a community. It doesn't have to be the whole world. But just hold the intent of what makes you feel like you can love yourself and pull it together and hold it. And don't buy in to the insecurities that will get thrown at you. Just listen to your heart and follow the instincts of your gut. And let the knowledge, the words, the things that impress people, let them swirl out of your mouth like a magical spell and wrap around you and create a safe place. There's a saying, BS baffles brains. I think there's a lot of BS going on. Because nowadays when I go to work with a horse, it's like listening to people who don't even understand what they're saying. There's a disconnection. There's a need to be seen. And instead of using positives, they use the poor me, the victim. I need help. And some days I get pulled down energetically, and I have to be honest with the rest of the world. I do that too. Sometimes it's based on absolute fear. Fear. Am I doing this right? Do I have the right to question myself? When I question myself, do I neutralize the intent? Absolutely. As soon as I question, as soon as I move away from my center, my goal, the honoring of who I am not able to help the horse. If I listen to everything in the world that said negative things, the only thing I could do would to be a mirror for all the negative in the world. And I think for some people who aren't awake, or some people who aren't curious about themselves, that is what's driving us into a new phase of understanding or not understanding who we are in the larger system of life. So bring yourself close and hold yourself. And don't be afraid of being still. And find the intent of what you want to do. and remember a 12-year-old kid sitting in the wintry barn in Canada, placing her hands in boiling warm water, running them down the cold leg of a horse, and working and working and working until something started to move, something started to change. Hold that picture, that desire, and find that in yourself, and honor it, and understand that you're fine, and you might not agree with everything around you, but in this moment, you're fine. Your animals, if you come towards them with this intent of not love me, but I love myself, your animals will start to see you as being whole. Yes, whole. Hold that thought. Don't forget my name. Don't forget Eastologic Radio. And you can find me at eastologicradio@gmail.com. It's Patricia Cleveland saying bye for now.